Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this wonderful morning. As we are gathered here to celebrate Women's Sunday, the weaker vessels as told in the Word of God, encourage every one of us. You speak to us, Father, as you opened up the heart of Lydia, open up every one of our hearts to listen to your word. Hide myself. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At the outset, I would like to thank our dear pastor and the Women's Fellowship Secretary and all the people involved in this Women's Fellowship and as well as Christian Counseling Mission. I thank every one of you for having invited me to share the Word of God. As I was told that we are celebrating Women's Sunday, Bible speaks about women in different ways. A virtuous woman, a wise woman, a weaker vessel, and so on and so forth. But today I have taken this text as per Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. All women are not wise. But here, specifically he says, the wise woman builds her house. Building a house is making a home. That's what it is meant here. Nowadays, what's a mother doing? What are you doing? People proudly say, I am a homemaker. And that sounds very nice. And many young bridegrooms, they want their wives to be homemaker because people go on earning and earning. Both of them earning, but coming out with nothing. To bring up a home and nurturing children in the Christian way is very essential for a Christian home. But how does this home is being built as per the Lord's requisitions? Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A wise woman is from the Lord. And Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. So only through wisdom a house can be built. Because when you read the famous portion from Proverbs 31:10-31, it all says about 15 to 16 attributes of a virtuous woman. When you finish reading it, you feel that you are no way fitting into this. How can I do all these things? Is this not possible? But a wise woman does it. And what is the ultimate goal? That is, have we achieved making a home of God's dear own heart? We read it in Proverbs 31:28-29. The ultimate goal, it is put up here. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So how can you build up a home? It is only through God's wisdom. And that's what we are going to meditate upon it today. The Word of God says in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Almost 7 attributes are given. How you receive the wisdom and how you develop your home with your wisdom. A wise woman builds her home only through the heavenly wisdom. So we have to quickly go through what all these 7 attributes mean to us. And first of all, it is pure. It's written as a pure. What is purity? Where does the purity come from? Psalm 19:8 says, the commandment of the Lord is pure. So the word of God is pure. So when a woman wants to make her home for the glory of God, she has to be very diligent in listening to the word of God. And not only to listen or read and meditate, but to follow the word of God. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. We all know from the Sunday school period, wise man building up a house on the rock. So without the word of God, a woman cannot build her house. So when to read the word of God? After getting married? No. As you are brought up as a small child, nowadays so many avenues are there to teach the children the word of God richly in every churches, in every fellowships, Sunday school, VBS, and teens and youth fellowship. So people are enriched with the word of God, not like earlier days when we were brought up. When I started my life as a child, I still remember in those days we read only in Tamil. Even the syllables, I gather and very hardly assemble them to read the word of God from the age of 5. And still today, that carries me along. So the wisdom comes from the word of God. Psalm 119:98 says, you, he's talking about you, mean the psalmist says, God, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. This word of God is always going to be with you. So enrich yourselves with the word of God. Maybe you may not have time in the morning or time at workplace, and so many busy schedules are there. But still, unless you honor the word of God and absorb in your inner substance, in your soul, and walk accordingly, it is not going to be any use to you. The wisdom comes from the word of God. Secondly, peaceable. The peace that comes from heaven. How does it come from? Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes from heaven. Now God gives to you the peace, a perfect peace. As Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When do you lose your peace? The peace you tend to lose only when you care, when you have anxiety, when you have a stress, when you feel that, what will I do tomorrow? Shortly, a man of God says, you're thinking of the reality. When you tend to think about the reality, you lose the peace. Fear of being rejection. And fear about the future, or your children, your marriage, your children, your disappointments, your happenings around. All this make you tend to lose your peace. That's why the word of God says, be anxious for nothing. We are all nothing. In Sermon on the Mount and Luke's Gospel 6th chapter, so many areas where Jesus speaks about, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you eat, what you wear. You don't even ask it. You don't even ask for it, or you don't even doubt for it. All these things will be added into you. So just God wants us to tell our supplications to God with thanksgiving. Lord, hitherto you have been so faithful to me. You have been granting my heart's desire. You have been protecting me all along. Keep on praising God. And the peace that passeth all understanding will give you the peace. The woman should be filled with the peace. Especially when the husband comes back home, fretting and fuming over the things that happened in the office, and so many ill atmosphere in the house surrounding you, your neighbors, things that are happening, unwanted things that are happening with your children, beyond your expectation. When things throttle your neck, the perfect peace will guard you, your hearts. And so you will be able to move on in the family, the God's peace, given by God's wisdom. And thirdly, we read about gentle. When you read all these things, most of them are belonging to the Spirit's gifts and fruit of the Spirit. So gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 3, 3rd chapter 3, 4, 5 says, this is an adornment which every wife needs to wear, an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So submission to the husband makes you feel gentle. How do you receive it? The word of God says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, you learn of me, you come and listen to me, you learn of me, learn about it from my sitting at my footstep. I am meek, I am lowly, and you will find rest in your souls. Almost every day I pray this prayer. Lord, teach me today to be humble and gentle in your sight. Teach me your humility. Teach me your gentleness. And that keeps me going for all these years. So gentleness is an important attribute for a woman who is making her home. Fourthly, willing to yield. This quality is the just opposite of rebelliousness. Willing to yield is exactly opposite to rebelliousness. And we read in the word of God, 1 Samuel 15 chapter 23rd verse, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So strongly it has been condemned when you are not willing to yield. We tend to feel people exploit us when we tend to yield. They ride on us. They make you nothing. They just put you under your footstep and then they stamp upon you. So many things we feel. Even when the rejection comes, when the injustice happens, we always feel that we have to raise a voice. We have to prove that I am so and so. But the word of God says, it is a quality of the heavenly wisdom. Be willing to yield. One father was driving his car. A small daughter, young small child, 4 years old. She was sitting in the next to father in the front row. And then the child went on handling this and that, steering, gear, and opening up this box, that box, which disturbed the father's driving. So he kept on saying, don't do this, don't do that. But the child wouldn't listen. Went on nagging the father for something or this and that. And suddenly he got furious and told the child to get back and sit at the back seat. Reluctantly, initially the child didn't respond, but reluctantly, because of seeing father's anger, she went and sat in the back seat. After that, as he was driving, his heart melted. So he asked the child, honey, how are you? Are you sitting in the back? Then the child replied, yes, daddy, I'm sitting in the back, but I'm standing in my heart. So she was so rebellious, she had to obey, no other chance. But she was rebellious in her heart. Because daddy made me sit at the back. How many of us do like that? When husbands scold us, when children nag us, and many a times we keep the resentment in our heart and we are not willing to yield. At that moment we bottle up the whole thing and after some time we open up and start shouting and arguing, back answering, and the quarrel starts up. Many a times this happens in our lovely home. This should never happen. Because this is a quality of the heavenly wisdom. And fifthly, full of mercy and good fruits. What is mercy? What is the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is given to us when we are unworthy to receive it. Grace in action is mercy. Grace flows in such a way you tend to be merciful. The origin of mercy comes from our Lord Jesus himself. We read it in 2 Corinthians 1 chapter 3rd verse, Father of mercy. Ephesians 2:4, God is rich in mercy. When you are merciful, you will tend to do good deeds, good fruits. Luke 6:36 says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So many verses are there. We cannot quote everyone here. So be merciful and show it in your good fruits. In Colossians 3:12 says, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This quality of forgiving our own selves, our own husband, our own children is very essential. This is the basic attribute, everybody should have it. Without this, we cannot proceed further. Many a times we are not able to forgive our spouses, our children. And that bitterness and envy are told us earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is considered as demonic, as we read in the Word of God. This demonic spirit is unforgiving nature, bottling up things like that. Many of us fail, even I do fail. And when we fail in that corner, we are not able to make our home a godly home. So let us give more importance for forgiving each other as Christ forgave you. We expect our partner to ask forgiveness, then I will forgive you. But what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. Without asking for anything back in return, he just forgave everyone. And there are tremendous verses to do like that in the Word of God. Many often we hear this again and again, but still we are not able to, because we don't consider it as it is from the heavenly wisdom. Sixthly, without partiality. Our God is no respecter of person. Acts 10:34 says so. When God is like that, we have to be like that. Because 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. We know about Rebecca showing partiality to Jacob and Isaac showing partiality to Esau. So finally what happened? Rebecca never saw her beloved son, a son of her after her own heart, after Jacob cheated Esau. That was the end of it. She wanted to cherish him to see how he is being blessed as a son of Isaac, a son of Abraham. But she never saw. Before Jacob could reconcile with Esau and come back to Canaan to live with his own country, Rebecca passes away. So that is the fruit of partiality she received. How much more we have to be cautious in treating our children. And seventhly, without hypocrisy. Jesus addresses hypocrites in Sermon on the Mount in very trivial things, very common things, like praying, giving alms, and judging others. In every portion of it, you hypocrite. More than what he addresses as Sadducees and scribes, you hypocrite, he addresses the common public, even in praying and alms and all. Hypocrisy, what does it mean? To pretend what you are not, as though you are the same thing. That's what the word says. And in Bible, so many hypocrisies are told about. Feigned love, feigned hope, humility, feigned faith, and feigned godliness. So many things we can pretend. And where does it lead to? As I said, from the age of 5 years, I started reading Bible. And I was winning all the prizes in all the Sunday school competitions, VBS, teens, youth. And I was able to lead the youth and teens even when I was a youth myself. And I dedicated my life to the Lord to be a chosen person for him, to spread the gospel. Then I read an autobiography of one Dr. Savariraj Jesudasan of Tirupathur. So I was led to follow his footsteps. Just because many people come to the hospitals than they pass through churches. So to do a mission work in a church, in an atmosphere where it is not reached, gospel has not reached, you can win many souls. And because of my family conditions, I could not go to North, though I got an appointment with Bangladesh Dhaka Bishop. At that time, we are only two sisters, two girls to my parents. My father was a very illustrious person. And finally he retired as a principal in Saidapet Teachers College. But my only sister, my elder sister, was a mental patient. To have a mental patient at home is terrible. Many of you might have come across such families. And because of that, I had to change my plan of going to northern India. I had to stay in mission hospitals so that I can be approachable for my parents. At that scenario, I was the only, I have to desert everything for my parents. They were so much dependent on me. So I had to do everything. So I used to be praying on my knees and this and that. And when things went on, not in a happy manner. At one time, I had to meet a man of God. All you know, Jesus calls Dr. Dinakaran. So for prayer. So at that time, even before he could pray for my sister, he told me, "Sister, you pray every day, 1 hour, and God will listen to your prayer." Some ordinary things about prayer and reading the word of God. To the surprise of myself, already I was doing like that. So then he prayed for a simple prayer for my sister, and then we came home. That night God spoke to me. He spoke to me in such a way, for the first time in my life, I repented of my spiritual arrogance. I had an arrogance that I am the only person who shoulders family's responsibility about my sick sister, my helpless parents. So all these things brought into me a holier-than-thou attitude, the spiritual pride, the hypocrisies. That's what when I read the seventh as a hypocrisy, I had a hypocritic faith, hypocritic love. All these things God brought it in my limelight. For the first time in my life, I cried, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner. An open sinner who goes for drinking." And all my classmates, they had some boyfriends. They squandle the money which the parents gave. And they won't study well. And they won't, they are like that. No witness about those few Christian girls who studied with me. But I was very pious, all the time reading Bible, all the time reading books, all the time focusing. I am a missionary, I am a medical missionary. I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to serve the Lord, I have to do this, that. All these things are a feigned godliness. The word of God, God specifically spoke to me. And that night I repented. "Lord, teach me your humility. Teach me your gentleness." According to Matthew 11:29. And God blessed me. And God anointed me with His Holy Spirit. And started doing the God's ministry in God's way, in God's time, in with God's places. And all these years, God has never failed to be with me wherever I go for ministry. Many times I long to know, do the work of God in unheard places. But what the Lord leads, I have to obey. So no hypocrisy. And because of this, I asked the Lord, "Lord, give me a husband who loves the Lord as I love you." And God gave me more than what I wanted. When Solomon King asked for wisdom to lead his people, God added so many things. The same way God added so many things for my fiancé. And God has been so good to us. For the past 40 years, we are married more than 40 years. God is faithful to us. And I know my husband, my children, you are a wise woman. You are a virtuous woman. This is what the testimony I hear from them. Together, we are able to build our home for the glory of God. More than we are longing for our children to do God's ministry. Every Sunday, we fast one time and commit our children to do God's ministry. This has been going on for so many years. And God has heard our prayers. And God has blessed them professionally in their own way. Their own families, they are shining. But more than that, what I long, they should carry the gospel of God. God has heard every one of my prayers. All glory to be God. So the earthly wisdom, what does it say? The previous verse says, earthly wisdom manifests in bitter envy, self-seeking, sensuality, demonic confusion, and every evil thing. There are more than six documented here. So there is no option for us. Either you run a spiritual wisdom or you run through your earthly wisdom. Maya media, nothing is spoken of in the word of God. When we run our family according to the word of God, God is always there to encourage us. Because this family, God has entrusted to us. Maybe you are single, but in some corner or there, you have a surrounding family, your brothers, your siblings, or somebody who takes care of you. God has given our family, our children, our spouses as the stewards of them. Because the word of God says in 1 Peter 4:10, and each one has received a gift, ministered it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we cannot own anything. We have to do it very methodically, meticulously, sitting at the feet of God. Once a man bought a new car, and he was riding in the road. You know the road. But he never followed any of the road rules. No signals, nothing. He went in a high speed. So everybody were so much panicky whether this man is a madman. Why does he drive like that? And all the police, everybody wanted to whistle this and that, but nothing could stop him. He went on going like this in his new car. For quite some time he went, and then finally he got tired and he stopped his car in a petty tea shop. So then people were there, and then, are you mad? Why are you driving such a hasty way? Why don't you follow rules? You are about to kill many of us. Many people would have been hit by you. So many things they came and quarreled with him. He quietly said, as he is sipping his tea, this is my car, so I will drive it. Who are you to ask any questions? Why should I follow your rules? Then one man went behind and took a big iron rod, came and hit that car. Tapa, 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 tapa. He hit, and it, suddenly the whole car became jammed. So this man came crying, "Ay, my car, why did you hit my car?" Then this man said, "This is my iron rod, I will hit. Who are you to ask?" You understand the policy? We cannot run our family as I want to. No. Little bit of worldly things, little bit of heavenly things, little bit of Maya media. When I go to church every Sunday, I worship there, I do this and I do that, I go for a fellowship. But you cannot run your family as a sensual people. This is not so. Only there we get wronged. The devil subtly deceives us. Oh, what? Always Bible, always fasting, always praying. Give something to us. Doesn't God interested in giving us something exciting in our lives? Definitely. And I have enjoyed my family life. It is not boring. It is so much glorifying God. It gives me the immense happiness. Everybody can go for this. Of course, God wants every one of us to be happy in the family. In 2 Kings 4:26, we read, this is a scenario about Shunammite woman who showed hospitality to Prophet Elisha. And Prophet Elisha prayed for her because she was childless, as per his servant Gehazi told, and she got a child. As he grew up, one day the child dies. So the lady didn't even tell her husband, locked the dead boy in his in her upper room, and then came and he was going up to Mount Carmel. But Gehazi saw it and told Elisha, and Elisha says, go and inquire. So it is what is written. So Gehazi inquires Shunammite, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. But the child is dead. She left a dead child. But she says, it is well. Her heart was so much full of tragedy. She didn't even want to tell the fact that the child through whom God gave through Elijah's prayer, I got the child, but the child died. He didn't die. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? God wants every one of us to be well with ourselves, well with our family. So what are we going to do? Many of us who are sitting here, maybe having the same problem. Sister, you are telling about a wise woman, virtuous woman, okay, fine. We are trying our level best to do, but our husbands are not understanding. They always find fault this way or that way. Many times insensuality. And they are not able to recognize our good deeds. All the time fault finding. Suspicious, stingy. What am I have to do with such a husband? My children are talking back. They are not even talking to us. No conversation. A strange relationship is going between husband, children, and I am alone in my heart. Though I live in a home. So much of disagreements, so much of incompatibilities. So many families are ruined. And so many Christian families have divorced cases against them. I heard in a statistic, 60% of the divorced families are from Christians. So sad to say. You may be one among them, sitting like this. You talk about an ideal home. Ideality is nothing to do with me. Ideality is when husband and wife have to behave together. No, dear sisters, don't lose your heart. God is always there to help you. When you are weak, His strength is made perfect. In 1 Peter 3rd chapter 1 and 2 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of your wives when they observe your chaste conduct. Keep on, keep on. Maintain your chastity. Maintain your submission to your husband. Maintain your integrity. God, who gives the heavenly wisdom, will definitely bless your home. Just have a checklist now and then. Am I running my family with the earthly wisdom? But above all, many families have tears in their eyes. Many a times I go for counseling. I am very happy. I congratulate the counseling team here. And she read about some testimonies. Very nice to hear about it. Keep continue this counseling ministry, because the counseling spirit God only gives. Isaiah 11:2, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord brings wisdom. The counseling spirit gives you enormous wisdom. So God equips every one of our females seated here to be a counselor in your own family. And God will definitely bring it to pass. Maybe your husband may not be your idealistic person. Entirely opposite, entirely different family you have gone into, where they do not recognize your family's merits, your siblings. But they put up a very big show about their family and their merits. So many families, they do like that. So what do we do? Finally, I encourage you to only one word and close with it. Ask the Lord for the wisdom, His wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says, in Him are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God gives to liberally to those who ask for it. We all know the famous verse in James 1:5. When children go for exam, we read that verse. And God is the source of wisdom. He has the wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, or 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, so many verses say that God is the wisdom. So when you receive God into your heart, when you accept God into your heart as a soul person, no via media, be careful, no earthly, no heavenly, together, no mixture. When you solely receive God in your heart, God will definitely carry you through. People will start understanding you. Your house is going to be a lovely home. Even though it has been a messed up, so on, so forth. But in future, when you check, when you have your checklist about your family, God will definitely do it. Above one verse, Hebrews 4:15-16. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We say many a time, I am not able to do this. I am helpless. I am sick in my body. I am having this disease. I am having diabetes. I am having heart problem. I myself may not be able to go to kitchen and cook food for children. So many inabilities, inadequacies will be found with you. God knows every one of our weaknesses. Let us therefore, in your Bible, when you go home, you underline this. Therefore, I have underlined in my Bible, Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To help in time of need. In Amplified Bible says, in every need, every need. Small thing, something may misfire in the kitchen. A big thing, your children may speak ill of you because they will blame you. You didn't give me this. You didn't nurture me in this faith. You didn't make me a professionalist. All these things your children will blame you. So many things will happen in time of need. Even a small thing or a big thing, you come to the throne of grace. A man was very much perturbed and disturbed in his mind. Whatever he did was a failure. Every doors were closed. He could not go further in his life. And that night he was so much upset, he just slept off. In his dream, he saw himself riding in a boat in a river. As he was riding, he had to go across. And he saw a big, huge rock in the middle of the river. He could not go even on one side or this side, like Ottoman. No, he could not go. Because if he tries to do so, the wooden boat will break. So he didn't know what to do, how to go further. He was stuck. At that time, a huge river from somewhere behind, a flood of water came at the back and filled the river. The entire river was so full, he just carried the boat above the top of the rock, the immovable rock. Rock was there, nothing could be done about the rock. But he was carried over because the flood was carrying him across the rock and carried him to the other side. This is the flood of grace. The grace will flow behind you. In whatever circumstances, you are stuck in your family, with your children. Children who are not yet getting married, who are not yet settled, do not have a job, do not have any earning from your husband. You are retired, senior citizens, not able to carry yourself. In all these situations, you are not able to go further. But the grace of God will sustain you at all times. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, come to the throne of grace, and He will supply you every need. Just ask the Lord, Lord, give me your grace. God flows it not like some tap water dribbling. No, He gives it like a flood. It comes and lifts you up above the situations and carries you. This is always available every day, every morning, every afternoon, every night, all the day in your life. Till we meet the Lord Jesus across. We'll pray. Hallelujah. Lord, you are a wise man, woman. God wants you to be wise. Because a wise woman builds the house. There are 7 attributes of heavenly wisdom as per James 3:17. And 6.5 attributes of earthly wisdom according to 15 and 16. Read it again and again. Lord, fill me with this wisdom. That is the only prayer every morning you have to make. Lord, give me your heavenly wisdom. And check yourself. Am I reading the word of God with thirst and passion? Have I told everything to God so that I may not lose my faith? It's a perfect peace that God is giving me. I should never lose it. Have you learned from the Lord to be gentle? Are you showing partiality in any of your family affairs? Any hypocrisies? Any fault-finding nature? All these things you check in yourself. Are you merciful and showing good deed? God checks everything and then gives you the wisdom. He liberally gives. He never chides anybody because He is the wisdom and He will give you to carry your life through. With all your inadequacies, in all your weaknesses, in all your wants, God is pouring out His grace into you. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for this morning. Lord, as Your children of enabling any disabled people as we are, we cannot have any pride in our hearts just because I am having a healthy family life. No, Lord Jesus, all things belong to You. You have given every one of us the grace to carry through. Continue to with Your grace. Those who are not able to have a happy family life, Master, a wisdom-filled life, encourage Your children today and help them, Father. We are not able to do on our earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom carries it towards the darker end. But Lord, You carry us with Your heavenly wisdom to the holy land, the glorious leadership. With You, we can run our family. Help every one of Your daughters seated here to have a healthy, happy, God-filled, graceful, merciful, gentle, humble abode of God, where God comes to live in every one of our homes. That is the sweetest thing we can ever ask for. I rebuke every satanic influences that is stealing the happiness and the peace in the family. I cast it out in the name of Jesus. As per the authority You have given me, Lord Jesus, in Luke 10:19, to trample the serpents and scorpions under my feet. The authority, I rebuke every satanic influences that is causing the broken family relationship. I cast it out for ever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray and take the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.